Good morning and welcome. I would like to invite all the moms. Next Sunday, we're going to have a Muffins with a Mom breakfast during our Sunday school time. It's at 10 o'clock here in our social hall. And if you would like to attend, we have a sign-up area near the stairs for you to sign up. That just kind of lets us know how many to prepare for. Or you can call the church office as well. Next up, we have VBS, and it will be happening June 11th through June 15th. That is a Sunday through a Thursday. It will be from 6 to 8:30. If interested in signing up, we are still needing a few more volunteers. If you feel really led to help with a special needs child, I was met with one this past week because she's nonverbal, second grader, and she's going to need a one-on-one person. If you feel led to be that person for her, please see me or Alexis. If you are currently signed up on the board, that's great, but we also need you to register on Kid Event Pro. I've sent you links this week. I will send you another one to remind you. That is the system that we use every night for checking in. It's for our registration, and we need you to do that. If your child is attending, we need them to complete. You need to complete that for them as well. This is only for pre-K through sixth grade. Volunteers that are working, your nursery three-year-old and four-year-old who have not been in school yet, will be able to come for a class as well. But we're opening it up to the public for pre-K through sixth grade. Right now we have 49 students registered, and I think it says 60 volunteers, so that's great. And also too, we are selling t-shirts for VBS. T-shirts will only be purchased for volunteers. These are not going to be for students this year. We don't want any kid to be left out. They are $10. You can see me or Alexis to buy a shirt today or to purchase one on Wednesday. We have to get these orders in. You can message us as well if you would like to purchase one.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us all together here today, Lord, and thank you for giving us the freedom to do so. I want to pray for these children that we're about to recognize, dear Lord. Please wrap your arms around them, protect them as they grow and develop here in the next couple of years, dear Lord. Be with us as a church as we pour into them. I pray that we'll be a good influence and be able to help guide their paths. Please continue to be with our church as we search for a youth minister and a music ministry, dear Lord. I pray for the next person you have in line to do that. Please guide and direct us as we search for that person. Please be with us to open up our hearts and worship. Please let us hear the message that you intend for us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church. I think we've got some excited kindergartners this morning. Ooh, y'all ready to get started? Okay. First, we have Ethan Thomas Alexander. He is the son of James and Tiffany Alexander. He attends North Tacnell Elementary School. His favorite Bible verse is David and Goliath, and when Ethan grows up, he wants to be a police officer.
Yeah.
y'all can hear me. Next, we have Addison Barrow. She's the daughter of Buddy and Macy Barrow. She attends Pinewood Christian Academy. Her favorite Bible story is Jonah and the Whale. And when Addison grows up, she wants to be a hairstylist. Next, we have Gentry Boyett. She's the daughter of Landon and Tori Boyett. She attends Boyett Boarding School. Her favorite Bible story is Samson. And when Gentry grows up, she wants to be a mama and a chef. Next, we have Kylie Howard. She's the daughter of Lacey Harrelson. She attends Claxton Elementary School. Her favorite Bible story is the birth of baby Jesus. And when Kylie grows up, she wants to be a unicorn and then a cheerleader. Next, we have Cameron Love. He is the child of Zach and Maddie Horn. He attends South Tacnell Elementary School. His favorite Bible story is the Easter story, and when Cameron grows up, he wants to be a teacher. Next is Nelson Powell. He is the son of Josh and Olivia Powell. He attends South Tacnell Elementary School. His favorite Bible story is David and Goliath, and when Nelson grows up, he wants to be a fisherman. And last but not least, we have Adeline Seville. She is the child of Debbie Crow and Terry Woods. She attends South Tacnell Elementary School. Her favorite Bible verse is the story of baby Jesus. And when Adeline grows up, she wants to be a baker and a photographer. And if you guys would just join me one more time in congratulating these sweet graduates.
Welcome this morning. We're glad you're here. I am glad you're here. Stand with me as we exalt his name this morning. Children, get ready.
So good.
with me again as we sing, "O Come Let Us Adore Him." You'll recognize it as a Christmas chorus, but we're singing the not Christmas part.
Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Almighty God and Heavenly Father, you are beautiful, Father. You give to us like no other, and Father, you require our obedience, and you want our love, Father, and we're slow to give that very often. God, you blessed us here today with these young lives that we can look at and see all the hope for the future. And Father, I echo Trey's prayer, Father. I pray we don't mess that up as a church, God. I pray that we continue to look after these little ones. And thank you for sending them. Father, we pray over what we're about to do here today. We worship you through our tithes and our offerings. And God, we ask you to be in charge of what happens with every bit of it. Because, Father, you were in charge of what we got to begin with. In Jesus' name.
Well, good morning, everyone. We are so thankful you are here. As you're opening up your Bibles to James chapter 2, I'd like to make a couple acknowledgments. First off and foremost, I would like to thank Melinda Peterson and all the women with WMU for a wonderful sugar time evening. This past Thursday, we raised, as a community, thousands of dollars and also thousands of pounds of sugar for the Georgia Baptist Baxley's Children's Home. We got to hear from a representative from there, Stephen Bonet, who shared all with us about the different ministries that our Georgia Baptist group puts on there. Just a wonderful, wonderful ministry there, and thankful we got to do it. Thankful for the hands and feet that helped that happen. I'd also like to congratulate our Tattnall County High or soccer team for the championship. Very exciting. I know this is a tremendously exciting time for our county. And I'm thankful to be here for it. In fact, I would almost argue that I am a good luck charm for high school sports teams, because In Cedartown, where I came from, we were less than a yard away from winning the state championship of football. So, I didn't go to the game. If I did, we would have had that extra yard. But really excited. And then ultimately, we are so, so excited for these children we got to recognize today in our kindergarten graduation. Each of them received a Bible. That Bible is a New International Reader's Version. It's a much simpler way to understand. It's at an easier reading level. It does not compromise the Word of God, but it just presents it in a way that is easier for children to understand. And within those Bibles, I also wrote out prayers that this past Wednesday night and this morning that I had been praying for the children. And I'll go ahead and tell you what it is. children, I am praying for you. I know a lot of them left. But I'm praying for them to always hunger for the Lord and to always be filled with His Word and not with things of the world. I believe if they do that, they will grow up to be amazing, amazing young men and women of God. So again, James chapter 2, let me go ahead and pray for us, and then we will dig into this. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. And Lord, this morning in particular, I pray that we would rest in that. Lord, as we open up your word here and as we study it, I pray that it's much more than just talk. I pray that it's much more than just checking off a list being here. And I pray that it's much more than just us claiming to be something that we're not actually living out. But Lord, as we read your word, whether you desire for your word to be sweet like honey to us this morning, or whether you desire your word to be sharp and convicting like a two-edged sword, whatever it is you desire, please let it be so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are in James chapter 2. Up to this point, we have learned that James is particularly concerned with the sin of favoritism. Last week, we talked about how showing favoritism or showing favor on others because of who they are or how much money they have or how they adorn and dress themselves is sinful. And that treating people differently because of who they are, how they are, is not what God desires. And in fact, we deceive ourselves if we think it is. And so today we continue this thought. So we just talked about how favoritism is sinful, and now we are going to get into a great discussion on faith and works. So I'm going to read through the remainder of James chapter 2, starting in verse 14 through 26. Excuse me. Let's read. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, stay warm, and be well fed, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. Good. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. Senseless person, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works in offering Isaac his son on the altar? You see, that faith was active together with his works, and by works, faith was made complete. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Here's point number one today as we begin. If you're taking notes, there are handouts in the back and over here, or you can just write these out. Here's point number one today. Our faith should lead to works. Our faith should lead to works. So I want you to hear this again. Verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works. Can such faith save him? Let's really dig into what this is talking about. It is a good biblical teaching to believe that we are saved by God's grace alone. It is good, it is true, it's what the scripture teaches. However, it is a false understanding to think that we can trust and believe in Jesus Christ and not be changed. It is a wrong teaching to think that we can encounter the Lord and Savior of us and not be changed. It just doesn't work out that way. I've heard the analogy before. If you were to be hit by a semi-truck, you might not look the same. You might not talk the same. You might not act the same. And how much greater is Jesus? We cannot interact with the Lord of the universe and be unchanged or unaffected by it. There has to be some sort of shift in us. Let's talk about where we were. Last week, I told you about how desperately short of the grace of God we fall. About how all of us have no chance to save ourselves. And all of us have no chance to stand as righteous or in good standing before God the Father. However, God's grace, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, made a way for us to stand before God the Father. Before we were not even worthy, before we were not even worthy of standing before Him. But now, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we are. Our faith should lead to works. Let's continue. Verse 15, if a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, stay warm and be well fed, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? This is exactly what happens when we were just talking about this in Sunday school. I won't get too much into it. But we were just talking about this in Sunday school where you say, okay, I'll pray for you, and then you just walk away without praying for someone. May I just share with you, one of the best things you can do for your faith and for your good works is to drop everything you're doing when someone asks for prayer and pray. Make time. Take time. Right? We don't have to allot a certain time and a schedule to talk with God. We get complete and direct access at any time, at any moment. And so for us to think that we don't have time to pray, or here's what typically happens, is that we have really good intentions and we say, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. I'm definitely going to pray for you. And then we just forget. We are so programmed and so scheduled out that it becomes really easy to forget. In fact, I have a pretty large calendar in my office. And if something is not written on that calendar, there's a good chance I have no idea I'm meeting with you or talking with you or anything like that. I mean, good luck. You may come in and I may say, oh, great to see you. What are you doing here? And you'll say, well, we have a meeting. I'll say, well, it's not on my calendar. Anyway, the point is this. God doesn't have some big calendar on his desk. He's all-knowing, he's all-seeing, he's all-powerful, and he is able to remember all the things that I forget. And he is able to remember, and he is able to see at any given time. But let's continue talking about how our faith needs work, right? So what James is saying is, you have someone who needs food, or you have someone who needs shelter, and you say, oh, I see you need shelter. Good luck. But you have food and you don't provide food, or you have shelter and you don't provide shelter, you're not really doing anything. You're just sort of rambling and talking about, well, it'd be really nice if you had some food. Too bad. Can you understand that our faith in Jesus, again, I talked about this a few weeks ago, should compel us to do good works? Because we trust in Jesus, we should begin having the eyes and the heart of Jesus. What did Jesus do when someone was hungry? Well, he fed them. What did Jesus do when there wasn't enough food? He made enough food. You and I may not have the power to perform a miracle like that. However, let's just be really honest with ourselves. I think most of us in the room would say at any given moment, we had not fought for a meal today. We might have run out of time, but we didn't run out of food, right? We have the opportunity, we just don't always act on it.
Let's continue going. Verse 17, in the same way, faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith by my works. What's really happening here? If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but there is nothing evidenced by your life that you are a follower of Christ, you might have a dead faith. What does this mean? And we really need to dig into this, because all of us need to be extended grace, right? We all need to be extended grace. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God all the time. We're all going to sin against God all the time, no matter how hard we try not to. We are incapable of not sinning against God. However, we all should strive to not sin against God. We all should strive to produce good works. Paul would say it like this. He would describe our works as our fruit, that they are the fruit of our life. And that word fruit, without digging too much into this, that word fruit is actually singular, not plural, even though it's multiple things. And this is kind of what we were talking about last week, about how if you break one law, you break all the law. In the same way, if you produce the fruit of the Spirit, you don't produce just one, you produce all. If you are a tree that produces what the Holy Spirit produces, you're not going to just produce bananas, you're also going to produce coconuts and whatever it is, whatever the song is. We are to produce fruit with our lives. What does this fruit look like? Well, James gives a very practical example. If someone comes up to you and needs food, you offer them food. If someone comes up to you and needs prayer, you offer them prayer. All of us have the opportunity to meet people's needs at any given moment. Why is it important to meet the needs of others? Because people won't need or feel or understand their need for Jesus until their physical needs are met. When physical needs are not met, people can't understand their spiritual needs. If I'm so hungry, wondering where my next meal is going to come from, how am I ever going to think about my hunger for the Lord? If I'm so concerned about having a shelter over my head in the cold, how am I supposed to know the warm embrace of our Lord and Savior? We have to meet these physical needs. We have to meet these earthly needs so that we can have more awareness of the spiritual needs. Our faith should lead to works. Verse 19. You believe that God is one. Good. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Here's point number two today. God is one. Why is this significant? We need to understand that good theology, theology is simply the study of God. Good theology leads to good actions. Bad theology leads to bad actions. I want to share a brief story with you. In the late 1800s, there was a German philosopher who wrote a book, and he talked about how the Jewish people were considered less than human, that they were rats on the earth, and that they should not be considered even a person. This book came out sometime in the 1890s, and it was read by a name you'll very likely remember, Adolf Hitler. And a lot of people think that that philosophy book, that person saying that God no longer loved the Jewish people and that they were insignificant, some people believe that it led to the actions Adolf Hitler took against the Jewish people. Now, of course, we have no way to confirm that for sure. We have no way to know that for sure. But here's where we stand. If you believe that people are invaluable, and I don't mean in the good way, I mean in the bad way, like they have no value, you're not going to act the same way toward them. You're not going to treat them well. I'm not saying you're going to commit genocide, but you might. If you know, all of us need to understand that our thinking and our philosophies and our theology, if it is bad and it is erroneous or wrong, it can lead us to do some incredibly sinful things. Let's talk about this. most of us tend to believe things that are like 99% true, but that 1% gets us caught up. Let's talk about this. This may be that all you need is Jesus, and you're totally fine in your life, okay? And you're going, Pastor, that's true. Kind of. It's true that to be saved, we need Jesus, and he is the only one who can save us. It is not true that we can just live a life of no works and a dead faith and be okay. I believe in Revelations, Jesus talks about how he will spit the lukewarm out of his mouth. He will vomit them out. I believe this is exactly what James is talking about. If we claim we have faith, but we have no works to accompany our faith, if we have nothing to say, yes, I am a believer in Christ and this is evidenced in my life, I don't think we're going to stand before God the Father as worthy. I think Jesus is going to say, I need to spit you out of my mouth. So, God is one. This is significant because our understanding of God is vital. God is one. To be a Christian, okay, follow me on this. To be a Christian, we need to believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The triune God, the three in one. If you do not believe that, and if you do not believe that all three are all God, you are not a Christian. You are not an Orthodox Christian. I would even venture to say that you're not even a true believer in Jesus Christ. Okay? I know it's a harsh stance, but it's true. This is what the scriptures affirm. And this isn't a New Testament concept. This even goes back all the way to Genesis, all the way to Deuteronomy. The Lord your God is one. The Lord your God is one. And this is brought up again. Anytime the New Testament references the Old Testament, should make our ears perk up. Because the people who are hearing this or reading this would have said, I know what he's talking about. I know what that author's saying. He says, you believe that God is one. Good. That's not good enough, though. Just belief that God is one, or just knowledge of who God is not sufficient for the Christian life. It's not enough, because faith without works is dead. Believing or knowing, but not having any substance behind it, is worthless. God is one. Let's continue reading. Verse 20, senseless person, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works in offering Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works, and by works faith was made complete. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Let's pause here for a moment. Abraham was an incredible man. Sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad. Abraham was given a promise by God that he would have a son, that he would have a descendant on which to pass things on to. Abraham was an old man when he was told this. If you were older than Abraham was at that time, please don't take offense to that. But Abraham was elderly in age, and it would not be considered normal or practical for a 75 or so year old man to have a son. And yet Abraham was promised by God that he would. And God tells Abraham, go to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will give you a descendant, and I will bless your descendants, and your descendant will be a blessing to all nations. This is the Abrahamic covenant. This is the covenant God made with Abraham. And God fulfills his side of the promise by giving Abraham a son. He gives him Isaac. And then God tells Abraham, I need you to sacrifice your son to me. Let's just be really forward here. This is really hard for us to wrap our minds around. It's really hard for us to wrap our mind around sacrificing a child to. Let me be clear, I do not think the Bible encourages or affirms child sacrifice. However, I do believe the Bible affirms that what is God's is God's. And what we have from the Lord has been given to us from Him. And He can take it back at any time. This includes our children. A little less severe story might be Jonah, when Jonah was given the plant to cover his head in the shade. That was given by God and it was taken by God. It's a little easier to believe that God gives and takes away plants. It's a lot harder to believe that God gives and takes away children until you've experienced it. Abraham was justified because he believed God, but it was more than just a, sure, God, that sounds great. The first thing Abraham did when he was told to go was he went. The first thing Abraham did when he was told to sacrifice his son is he went to sacrifice his son. And it wasn't like he didn't believe it was going to happen, right? I mean, I'm sure he was praying, Lord, I pray that you don't make me do this. But he took Isaac with him, right? So that's a sign that he had all intentions to do it. He took wood with him. He took everything he needed for the offering. All that was missing was the time to actually do it. And God stopped Abraham, thankfully. But the point is this. Abraham did not just say, okay, God, that sounds great. Abraham did it. Abraham believed God, and then there was substance behind it. He believed God and went. He believed God and went to do the sacrifice. Our belief is great. It's good that we believe that God is one. It's great that we believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. It is not enough to just say that but not live it. Faith without works is dead. It's an empty faith. Another way to say that is it's not really faith at all. You are claiming to be something you're not, and you're claiming to live out something you're not. And this isn't like, oh, I'm trying to honor God, but I'm just falling short. This is like, I don't care what God has to say about my life. I'm in control of my life, and who cares what the Lord wants? It's an empty faith. Abraham was justified by his faith. Let's talk about this word justified. To be justified means to be made right. It falls right in line with righteousness, okay? We are justified at what point? Well, we are justified when we trust in Jesus Christ. At the moment we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are justified. That means that in that same second, in that same breath, if we were to pass away, we would stand before God the Father, and He would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And He would welcome us into heaven. That's what it means to be justified. The other side of that, and this word is not in the text, is the word sanctified. To be sanctified means to be made more like Jesus Christ. Sanctification happens over time. Justification happens all at once. Our sanctification is vital for our life. And it's vital for this very reason. All of us should desire to be more like Jesus Christ in our lives. Some of us more than others. Some of us less than others. But all of us should be striving to be like Christ. But here's where we struggle. This sanctification process, we're all at different stages in it. We all struggle with some sins that others don't struggle with. And we all don't struggle with some sins that others do struggle with. Some of us have no problem stopping what we're doing and praying. Some of us do. Some of us had no problem reading our Bible every day. Some of us do. Some of us have no problem treating people well. Some of us do. And all of these things, these are just byproducts of our faith. They just extend out. They're a natural progression of our faith that as we are growing in our saving faith in Jesus Christ, it's not like we're more saved because we're better people. It's not like we're more saved. Or let me just go ahead and say this. One of the really popular things to say, especially in the South, is that like you're going to have an extra jewel in your crown in heaven, right? And if you're of this, I'm not attacking you, I promise. Do you understand that us just being in heaven is the gift itself? Us just being with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is the gift. Doesn't matter if we're the custodian in heaven. Doesn't matter if we're, you know, picking up dog droppings in heaven. It doesn't matter what it is. Thank God we're there, right? We don't do good works because we want a closer seat to the throne of God in heaven. We don't do good works because we want extra jewels in our crowns. I don't even care about having a jewel in my crown. I care about being knelt before God the Father in heaven, singing his praises. Revelation would say that we will stand before his throne or kneel before his throne and sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." This is the desire of our heart. So since that is the desire of our heart, let us produce good works now. Because we're not waiting to get somewhere, right? It's not like we took a test, we accepted Jesus, and now we're just waiting to see if we got into that school or we got into that program. We are constantly living out our faith so that others may look at our lives and say, "I too desire to trust in Jesus because I've seen how it's changed that person." It's one of the reasons we talk about testimonies being so good or so boring, right? Because if we see someone who's like lived a really terrible life and Jesus has turned their life around, we're like, only God can do that. I knew that guy before. He was just an absolute mess. And we're saying only God can do that. When in reality, the important part is that only God can bring us from death to life. We all have a miraculous, amazing story, and it's that we were dead in our sin, and God made us alive in him. Let's continue going. Verse 24. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Here's the third point today. Belief is a work. Belief is a work. You're going to say, "I feel like you're backtracking on everything you said, Pastor." I don't believe so. Belief, and I think this really stems down to how we define belief. A lot of us think of belief as knowing and agreeing with something, right? So we may say our belief is that when the light is green, we're supposed to go through it. Our belief is not knowing that the light is green and we're supposed to go through it. It's that when the light is green, we actually go through it. You understand what I'm saying? It's more than just knowing it, and it's more than just agreeing with it. It's when it comes into play, and when the rubber meets the road, in this analogy, literally, we are willing to go through the light. We are willing to drive through the green light because we trust if everything is as it's supposed to be, we'll be totally fine going through the green light. We believe it, and so we practice it. It comes out in our actions. If we say we trust in Jesus Christ, these are some of the things that should be exhibited from our life. Gentleness, patience, kindness, meekness, understanding, compassion. The list goes on and on. These should be natural things if we truly believe what we say we believe, right? And let's take it a step further, okay? Let's be practical about this. If we truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, but we are not willing to share with people who don't know Jesus that they need to know Jesus, maybe we don't actually believe it. And I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm not questioning any of this. I'm saying if you truly believe that the only way for people to spend eternity with God in heaven is to know Jesus Christ, but you're not willing to step out of your comfort zone a little so that people will hear about Jesus Christ, you're not going through the green light. You're saying that's fine for other people. I hope the pastor shares the gospel sometime. When we are all called to share Jesus with others. Every single one of us. And it doesn't matter how old or young you are. This is what I share with the kids we baptize, right? I share that you need to share Christ within your first 6 months of believing in Jesus. I'm going to let you know right now, some of those kids and I are going to have a conversation in the next few weeks. And I'm going to ask them, "Have you shared Jesus with anyone yet?" So if any of those kids are in the room, prepare yourself for that. The point of it is this. Belief is a work. Abraham's belief led him to not only say, "God, I believe you," I believe that you're telling me to sacrifice my son. Abraham's belief was, God, I believe you, and so I'll listen to you, and I'll do it. Rahab's belief, now Rahab's a crazy story, okay? Rahab's story is even crazier because Rahab was not even a Jewish person. She was a Gentile, and Rahab was willing to essentially betray her own people to follow after the Lord and to make the Lord's will done. We are closer to Rahab than we are to Abraham. Okay? We are closer to the prostitute Rahab than we are to Father Abraham. What do I mean by that? We're outsiders. We're Gentiles. We were way far, we were way dead, and God brought us way near and way alive. We were not given, we were not handpicked by God early in history to be the father of the nation of Israel, okay? We were not picked to be the father and great, however many great grandfather of Jesus. We were not picked for that. We were called to be the brothers and sisters of Jesus as adopted into God's family. Think about this. God the Father has brought us in. We had no worth to us aside from that God wanted us. Belief is a work. If you are not willing to trust in God when he says to do something and actually do it, then your faith without works is not really faith at all. It's just lip service. And no, many of us need to be extended grace. Okay, I'm not saying that, if you haven't prayed today, you're not your follower of Christ. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you are the same today as you were 10 years ago, maybe your faith is dead. Because we should consistently, over time, and maybe sometimes it looks like this, okay? But we should consistently, over time, be growing more and more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I close here today, after this, and this will be in a few weeks, after this, we're going to talk about controlling the tongue. Again, James is very practical. I also sometimes have trouble controlling my tongue. Sometimes I just say what I think, and it's not always good for me. But as we close today, let me encourage you. I've heard it so many times where pastors will get up and say, you just need to re-give your life to Jesus, or you just need to do this. I'm not knocking that, okay? If that's what you've done and that's what you felt convicted to do, that's great. I'm telling you, if you fell far from Jesus, Just start drawing near to him. Stop making it a spectacle. Stop making it a scene. Just trust in Jesus and start doing what he says. Okay? For those of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and what I mean by this is you have never said, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you were resurrected on the third day. And I trust you with my life, Lord. If you have never done that, this is your opportunity. And you're off to a great start because you're not going to start in a way where you just have the faith and are not going to have the works. You're going to know right from the get-go, I am supposed to have faith that is not backed up by works, but is a natural, my works are a natural progression from my faith. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, I pray that you will trust in him today. It's really simple, like I said. Pray by yourself. You don't even need to pray with me. Right? You don't need a pastor to trust in Jesus. You don't need anyone to pray. You can trust in Jesus right where you are. You can think it. You can say it out loud. You can mouth it. God hears it. God knows it. Even in God's holy temple, he hears your prayers. He hears your thoughts. And he knows your prayers. And he knows your thoughts. Even the ones you don't want him to. So today is the time. I urge you, trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in him. we'll all stand shoulder to shoulder as we all try our best to consistently be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for these different examples in Scripture of how to live out our faith and how to have faith with works, not so that we glorify ourselves, but that we glorify you. Not so that people look at us and go, oh, what a great Christian, but that people will look at us and go, wow, they must have a really great God. Lord, I pray for the people in the room who have not trusted in you. I pray that you would make their feet quick to move. I pray you would make their mouths quick to speak so that they would confess that you are Lord and that they would trust in you. God, I pray for all the health needs in the room and in the families they represent. God, one of the most amazing ways that we get to live out our faith is by trusting in you in the hardest of times. So I pray that whatever it is you have for us, whatever trials, whatever challenges, Lord, I'm not even asking for the strength to endure it. I'm just asking for you to hold me while I endure it. Father, I pray that this morning was an amazing time to you, that you felt worshipped, that you were lifted up. And I pray even right now, God, that you and your angels in heaven and the other saints in heaven are celebrating because someone somewhere has trusted in you for the very first time. And you are so excited to welcome them home. I pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here this morning. Just a quick announcement before we go and pray for dismissal. I encourage you to join us tonight as we continue in Acts for our Sunday evening service. That begins at 6. Look forward to seeing you then. It'll be in here. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, very special day. We will be beginning the service with baby dedication, including my baby dedication. And so we're really thankful for that. I encourage you, if your mother's coming into town or if you're a mother, this will be a wonderful time of worship. I'll go ahead and tell you what we're going to be talking through. We're going to be talking about Delilah's prayer. And this will be an incredible time, I believe an incredibly challenging time to us as parents, that we are called to raise our children up in the Lord. And so I pray that you will join us for that. If we have to pull out more chairs, great. What a great problem to have. Let me pray for us, and I hope you have a great day. Father, thank you so much again for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to be together. Lord, I pray that you will bring us all back together safely. And I pray that today, as we have fellowship with our families, or as we go home, or as we do the tasks that need to get done, I pray that in all these things, you will be honored, God. And praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.